We jogged a little bit. We ran a tiny bit. We stopped at McDonald's. We ate Happy Meals. We played jump rope on the side. We stopped at a church. We posed for pictures. Like, we were just hanging out.
This Runs Radio, episode 456, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real excited before we get started today to welcome a new sponsor on board today, and that is the good folks from over at WeGrind.com. If you listened back to the quick tip episode I did a few weeks back, I believe it was episode 445, I did a little good, bad, and ugly, a little product review of their shirts, their tech shirts. They have tank tops for the ladies, and rumor has it there's a sleeveless version coming for the guys as well. But it was, I mean, point blank, it's the best tech shirt I've ever worn to run in. Super soft, super comfortable. None of that nipple chafing that us guys ever have to worry about, and certainly no other chafing anywhere else. Nothing on the arms. Nothing anywhere. Quite honestly, no reason to not rave about this product, and I'm excited to have them on board as a sponsor now. So if you want to check out the shirt for yourself and order yourself one or two, you will not regret it. I can pretty much guarantee that. So WeGrind.com is the website, WeGrynd.com, and use the code DizRuns at checkout. Save yourself 15%, and also that way they know that you know, you're coming from the show. So you're supporting the show, getting yourself a great shirt to wear for yourself, and obviously also supporting a small business, a small company here in the U.S., which is always cool as well. So with that, let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, my guest today and I have been trying to line this thing up for a while, and I'm excited that we are finally able to make our schedules align and have a little bit of a chat today. This woman got started running at an early age and actually ran her first marathon at the age of 17, but she didn't consider herself a quote-unquote real runner until she qualified for Boston a few years ago, and that's, we will certainly dive into that as we go, but I'm excited today to be able to finally get to chat with my friend, Ms. Leanne Nguyen. Thanks for joining us today, Leanne, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Oh, good. I'm glad to have you. And guys, if you want to connect with Leanne, she's probably the best place is on Instagram. Her handle there is at smallrunner88, and then there's an underscore at the end of the, after that second eight. So it's smallrunner88 underscore, all one conglomeration of characters there. And you know where we'll have the links to connect with her there. We'll have that contact information and the links to anything else that we talk about today that makes sense in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/456. So Leanne, the way we always start off the show is with a simple and straightforward question. Sometimes the answer is also simple and straightforward, and sometimes it is opening a big can of worms that takes us and carries us for most of the rest of the chat. But it's just a fun way to start things off, and that is just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
My favorite distance has been and will always be the marathon. It's my first distance. Like you said, I did it when I was 17, and it's my first love. My favorite aspect about the marathon is that there's so much time and there's so many miles. You know, if you don't hit your goal for a couple miles or you're off your pace, you can pick it up later on. You can bank some time and you can make up time at the end if that's necessary. And that's probably not the case for the shorter distances, like the 5K or the 10K. You know, those races, you have to go all out and you have to focus from beginning to end, and there's no room for error. But I find that the marathon, it's much more flexible in the sense that there's opportunity for improvement throughout the race.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although if I wanted to play devil's advocate, that also gets me thinking that there's also a lot more areas to screw things up by, you know,
yeah.
Like if you go out a little bit too fast in the 5K, like, you know, maybe hopefully you can grit your teeth and you know, finish that last mile without losing too much. But if you go out too fast in a marathon, that can be a world of problems by the last 5 miles or so, you know.
That's true. You're right. You're right.
But I'm with you though. I would much rather do the longer stuff than the shorter stuff. It's I don't know. It's a different hurt, I guess. You know, depending on how you're racing it, what you're doing. There's different struggles, obviously. But I like that marathon, and even I'm starting to get into even maybe a little bit longer than the marathon once in a while is a fun distance for me.
Really, I've never done an ultra. I've been toying with the idea. I just don't know though. I just don't know.
I was very firmly in the no way, ever, never, never, ever going to do it camp for a while. And then, these people that we call friends in the running world just start to wear you down and say, oh, you should do it. It's so much fun. Yeah. And of course, I've talked to many ultra runners on here, and they just give me all kinds of grief. Right. Like, oh, you got to do it. It's blah, 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 blah. And so I finally broke down and did my first one earlier this year. And I mean, it's different. It's certainly a different challenge. Just like every distance is a different challenge, but I enjoyed it. And I'm not to the point where I'm going to like try to push people to do it, but I would say, don't say never say never. Cause it's a good learning experience. It's a different environment, mm-hmm. you know, especially if you do it on the trails versus the roads, like that type of thing. But it might be something that you might enjoy, especially if you like the marathon, you like that amount of time to be out there and strategize and how the race goes. It might play out well for you.
You're right. You're right. I should give it more research. Yeah, I really should.
Well, and being out there, I mean, out in California, there's ultras all over the place. You can get out there and do one. So give it a shot. See what happens.
Every weekend, actually. Yeah,
exactly. So, hey, you know, before we get too far off of the beaten path here, I can't brush past this idea of you ran your first marathon at 17, you know, at an age where I thought running was the most ridiculous pastime in the world, like something I would again, you know, I'll never be a runner. And then, of course, you know, here we are. But I mean, you jumped into it at an age that, I mean, some people think is still too young for anybody to run that far. Why? I mean, maybe the most obvious question, why did you do a marathon at that age?
So my dad signed us up for the LA Marathon, me and my little sister, Linda. I was 17. She was 15. And back then, the LA Marathon, believe it or not, it was only $50, maybe even less.
Right.
And now it's like 180.
Right.
He just thought it'd be a good idea, you know, for the family to get together and do something fun on the weekend. We quote unquote trained for like 2 weekends at Mile Square Park in Santa Ana. We jogged together as a family, and I would give anything to have those photos now. We probably did the most we ever did probably was like 8 miles together. And we thought, hey, we're ready. Like no research, no planning ahead, no training. And we just went out there. Yeah, I remember it was March. It was some early March, and I ended up running the race with my little sister, and my parents did it together. We jogged a little bit. We ran a tiny bit. We stopped at McDonald's. We ate Happy Meals. We played jump rope on the side. We stopped at a church. We posed for pictures. Like, we were just hanging out. We finished in 8:40. Things you would never do again in a race, we did that day. But my parents have stopped running ever since. It was a good experience for them. But I haven't stopped. I've been stuck on running ever since. So that's where it all started.
Wow, I don't even know. Like there's so many questions I feel like I could ask here. You took your time. You had some fun along the way, but I mean, I have to imagine you weren't much of a runner before that. You like you said, you trained a couple of weekends before the race, a couple of runs. I mean, like, how did the race go? I'm going to imagine, and please correct me if I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to imagine that it was not the most enjoyable 26, you know, most enjoyable 8 hours of your life at that point. But I mean, how did the race go for you?
I don't remember much about, I don't remember a lot of pain, actually.
Okay. Blocked it all out, I guess, huh?
Yeah. The day after, the whole nother story, though. I'll get into that in a second. But during the actual race, like, me and my sister were just having the time of our lives. And, you know, we were very young and we're Asian, so we look even younger than we actually are. So a lot of people stopped us and, like, asked us what the heck we were doing out there, where our parents were, why we're doing this thing. And I just remember laughing and smiling with my sister and having the time of our lives. However, after the race, while we were waiting for our parents, we actually fell asleep not too far from the finish line, which is pretty dangerous now that I look back. Me and my sister just passed out. And then our phones went crazy when our parents crossed. And then the day after, none of us could move. Mm. Like getting up and going to the bathroom was like a race in itself. It was so bad and so dangerous now that I think about it, you know, like I would never sign up for a marathon or tell anyone, advise anyone to do it with like 18 miles under the belt, collectively of 18 miles under their belt, you know, so dangerous, but you know, like we're just very lucky and fortunate.
Right. Well, and I mean, yes, you know, yes, you certainly were, but you also, I mean, you did what you would expect with that amount of training experience. Like you yeah. took your time, you stopped yeah. to eat, like
exactly.
you weren't pushing it. So yeah. you know, and then you paid the price the next day, it sounds like.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh goodness. Well, so was there ever a time that you can remember during that day where I mean, you said you were getting questions from all these other people. What are you doing? Yeah. Why are you doing this? Was that ever a question? I mean, you said you were having the time of your lives. Were you just enjoying it as much and you didn't even think about it or what? I mean,
no. Yeah, I didn't even think about it, Danny. It sounds crazy. And I don't even know any 17-year-old, any teenagers that would do this for fun these days. But there was no thought. You know, even back then when you don't know what you're doing, you don't understand 26 miles. So maybe it was just like going with it and not, you know, fully grasping the fact that this is a very long race. But yeah, I don't remember. I don't recall like hating it or being mad in the process, you know?
Mm-hmm. So then after the fact, the next day hurting
as
all of us that have done a race like that know, especially the first one, even if you're well-trained, it still hurts the next day.
Yeah.
Was there ever a thought of, all right, well, I did that. I'm done. I mean, obviously that wasn't the case, but was there ever this running thing is I'm over it in the immediate aftermath?
I don't think it was ever like, I hate this, I'm never going to do it again. But in my head, it was more like, well, that was fun. Like, that was a cool thing to do. Like, I might not do it again. Mm-hmm. I don't hate it. I could do it again, but I'm not going to do it again next week or again later that year.
At what point did running become, I mean, your thing? It sounds like it didn't take very long, but you know, from the end of that first marathon experience, and arguably the first time you really had a running experience, a couple of weeks of training. When did running become something that was like, all right, this is part of me now?
Yeah. So that kind of ties into how I got fast. So that was my first marathon was in 2006. After that, I consistently did at least one marathon a year. Again, purely just for fun, like shits and giggles. There's no time involved, no pacing, no training. It was just something cool to tell people that you did over the weekend, you know? But I actually went through a really bad breakup in 2013. So 4 years ago. And then when me and that person broke up, you know, I cried and cried and I really grieved. I was like a zombie at work and I didn't know what to do with myself all by myself. So I went running. I ran and I ran and I sweat and I sweat until I didn't have like any water in my body left for tears. I was so tired. I couldn't even be, I didn't have any energy to be sad. I got faster that year and I actually ran like, I don't remember exactly what time it was, but I ran the Long Beach Marathon and I got a sub 350. I want to say it's like 348 or 349. Mm-hmm. And my dad thought I cheated. Huh. He literally pulled me to the side at dinner that night and looked me in the eye and asked me if I cheated. And I obviously said no. You know, I went from like an 8-something to a 350, and I don't know how that happened. But I guess, you know, when you're trying to get away from something, mm-hmm. that'll do it. That's how I really started getting into running.
Gotcha. So between that time, you hadn't gotten significantly faster? That like you just would run a little bit here and there and then run a marathon every year and that was about it?
Yeah exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Weird.
Yeah, that's quite there's not too many people that can have a 4+ hour PR improvement in the marathon. Yeah. That's you're in rarefied. I thought I was good. I have like an hour-ish PR change in the in the marathon. But, yeah, four plus hours. That's pretty rarefied air right there.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going from somebody who basically walked the marathon to somebody who's like, okay, maybe I should actually try. You know, maybe I should actually put some effort into this. So that's how I got fast. Like, and it definitely wasn't overnight either. Like, I went from the 840s. That was for, let me think, like 2006 to 2013. So 4, 5, 6. That was 7 years worth of like my body knowing that I could do 26 miles, and then just out of the blue, knowing, or out of the blue, just wondering if I could go faster. You know, that's how it happened.
What was that race like as far as, you know, eye opening or like, holy cow, I didn't realize that I could do this. Like what was the emotion after the race or how did you feel after the race when you saw the time? Look at what I just did.
I know. Well, the crazy thing is that morning I saw my ex-boyfriend at the beginning. So he's not exactly a runner himself, but his little brother is. So that's why he was out there. I saw him out there and I was like, holy shit, this is supposed to be like my thing, my comeback. And then I see him and, you know, I thought that I'd be sad or like I would like want to talk to him or some BS like that. But I actually looked at him and I didn't say a word and I just proceeded to the finish line. And I was like, I know that no matter what happens now, like this is sorry about that.
No worries.
This is going to be my race and nothing is going to change it. So I went through that race, you know, pretty conservatively the first few miles. And then I was like, okay, I guess I can hold a 9-minute mile for this long. And then going through it, I picked it up. You know, I saw my dad at the college Long Beach Marathon. He met me at around mile 20, I want to say. My mom met me at mile 22 with oranges. I saw my sisters. I saw my dog along the way. Like, and then I checked my watch and I was just like, what the heck? Like, this is not happening right now. And then I crossed the finish line and I was just like, I didn't cry, but I was just in awe at myself. You know, what I the reason why I started it was just to get over a really bad situation. And now it ended up opening up something brand new, and I haven't stopped ever since.
Wow, that's awesome. That's, I mean, like I said earlier, it's quite the jump, and especially just, you know, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, you ran your first marathon with no training, so it was eight plus hours, whatever, and like, you know, eventually you keep whittling down, but that's quite the jump. But then so then you go from there, and you know, now all of a sudden I would feel like if I was in that situation, I would feel like, all right, well, now, you know, this is quite the big jump, but let's see what I can do. Like, all right, you know, so I just did sub 350. Like, let's rock and roll. Was that a similar for you?
Exactly. So after that, I was like, okay, I've heard of this thing called the Boston Marathon. I don't really know what that entails, but let me Google. After that race, I was like, okay, when's the next one? So I Googled a bunch of stuff, tried some new things, like, I don't know, not eating candy before running or running more than 10 miles as a long run. And then a few months after that, so that race, Long Beach Marathon, that was October of 2013. February 2014, I went down to a 336. Mm. Okay.
So then another after that, significant jump.
Exactly. After that, I was like, okay, this is crazy. And then I distinctly remember after that marathon, me and my sister looking up like how to get into Boston, like how close am I? So we saw that it was 335 and we were like, great, that's attainable. But there's also like further cutoffs after that. Like a 335 is what I needed to get in. But to really get in, you need like a good 333, you know, and I'm sure you know that, Danny, you ran Boston, you understand like the cutoffs. So I ran again in May 2014, you know, I got a 335, close, but not quite. Exactly. So September 2014, just a few days before the Boston Marathon cutoff, I ran the Ventura Marathon and I got a 330.
Nice.
So I was elated. Yeah. I was elated. I got 330 in my first BQ.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Did you end up going and running Boston?
Yeah, I did. That was 2015, my first Boston. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I have not yet qualified for Boston. That is definitely a big goal of mine, something I'm working on. And I certainly know all of the, you know, you got to get X amount but below it to make sure that that you can kind of breathe easily and be comfortable that you probably made it. But anytime I talk to somebody who's run Boston, I always, you know, have to dive into that a little bit because, you know, that is certainly a big goal of mine. What was running at Boston like for you?
The first time I cried on the way to the bus, I cried on the way to the start line. I was just terrified. It is the biggest race that I have ever done. Even though I'm from California and there's a bunch of races around here, nothing. And I tell you, nothing compares to the Boston Marathon. Like, it is beyond completely organized. There's so many people and so many good people too. And I just, even though I qualified and I got in, I just felt like a nobody there. My entire family came out besides my dad. But I mean, good. Thank God that they were there for support because I just would have felt like an ant, you know. It's crazy. And I really commend anyone who can do well on that course because that is a killer course. And I've done it 3 times, but I still haven't been able to do it well. And I'm not going to lie, I've never BQ'd on that course. I don't understand how people can. But I'm pretty sure I'm in for 2018. I'm going to try again. And I'm going to keep my goal in running is always to qualify for Boston until I can't anymore. It's worth it. I mean, it's very expensive to go out there.
Right.
The flight, the hotel, like everything, the prices go up. Like, they just shoot the prices up because they know that anybody will pay anything once you're there. But it's worth it. It's worth every penny. It's worth everything you got.
So you've done it a few times. What's your favorite, whether it's part of the course, part of just the weekend experience, whatever it might be. What's your favorite thing about running the Boston Marathon?
Favorite mile has to be mile 14. The Wellesley girls. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right. Wellesley. I think Wellesley, the college is an all-girl school, but they all come out and they line mile 14 and they just scream their heads off. You can start hearing the screams at mile 12, actually.
I've heard that. That's crazy to even think about.
Yeah. And they're holding up signs. They're giving out kisses. It's amazing. And I'm not the kind of person to really stop and smell the roses anymore. So I don't really stop or take pictures or anything, but I just love that energy. And it's really hard to explain unless you're actually there. So Denny, if you're close to getting into Boston, keep trying because you got to go. You have to go.
you don't need to encourage me. That's part of the, you know, I'm on that trajectory of, all right, I need to get another age group or two older and keep getting just a little bit faster. And eventually those two lines will cross in the middle and that's when I'll be there. So I can't wait. I can't wait at all.
Awesome.
How has your, perspective on Boston changed? Like, so you say you're not wanting to much stop and smell the rose anymore. Was the first one, did you take that? Has it changed? You know, with the first one being the first experience and, oh my gosh, what's going on? Was it more of a stop and smell the roses type of race, or was that one just as much business as the third one was?
Oh, just as much business. Mm-hmm. However, the one that I did in 2015, it was pouring rain and it was freezing. Mm-hmm. So there weren't that many people on the street, but there were still a lot. But I would say my first experience wasn't ideal only because the weather was crazy and it was terrible. But all three races, 2015, 16, 17, I definitely did not relax at all. Like, if you're there, you want to try your best. But I definitely have learned that you still have to remember, you know, that you are running Boston. Like, you tried really hard to get in. You beat the odds. Like, just enjoy it as much as you can. Don't try to, like, PR on the Boston Marathon. And if you do, that's awesome. Good for you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't PR, like, don't beat yourself up for it. Just know that, like, so many people, you know, this is their dream, and people try to qualify and they don't ever in their lives, but I get to, and that thought alone just brings me so much, gets me like so emotional that, this is like the one thing that I'm good at, and the person next to me isn't, you know. Not to compare. I know comparing isn't something good to do, but I really do think that running is the one thing. It's the one thing that I'm good at.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's always, you know, I'm always interested in talking about Boston and hearing experiences of people that are there and the different strategies, because I've had some folks that are just like, man, I get there, you know, and they've done it a handful of times and they're just like, I am not racing, I am enjoying myself, and yeah. I kind of feel like that's probably the route that I'm gonna take.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, who knows? Like we'll see what happens. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I do like the idea of just like you know, for me the big meltdown emotional moment, I think, you know, and again we'll see what happens when I get there, will be the qualifying part, when I qualify and know that, like, all right, I got enough buffer, I'm probably good, like that's when I'll lose my mind. And then when I get to Boston, like, it's just gonna be, you know, I'm not gonna walk it obviously, but like, no. We're just gonna cruise, we're gonna have fun, we're gonna do fives and you know, whatever, and just hang out. But but who knows, I might get there and get caught up in the emotion of it and just decide, you know what, screw it, I'm gonna run. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Yeah, well, we'll turn the page on Boston, but first, just do want to take a quick second and pay a couple bills here. Guys, today's episode of the show is sponsored, again, by WeGrind. They make some of the, well, not some of, in my opinion, the best, you know, tech shirts, tech tanks. You know, ladies, there's the option of a t-shirt or a racer back tank top. Guys, we just have the t-shirts right now, but rumor has it, there's some sleeveless t-shirts on the way as well. But I mean, the softest fabric, odor absorbing, moisture wicking, all that good stuff. I've talked about it before on a quick tip not too long ago. So if you want the full rundown on my experience with it, check back on that product review. I don't have the show number here, but we'll make sure to put it in the show notes as well. But if you are interested, you want to get yourself a really some great comfortable shirts, use the code DizRuns at checkout as well, and you'll save yourself 15% on anything that you get, the visors, shirts, tanks, whatever the case might be. So WeGrind.com, that's WeGrind.com, and DizRuns at checkout. And thanks to them for supporting the show. So, Leanne, switching gears a little bit. I mean, like, I could probably keep talking and picking your brain about Boston for the whole rest of the time, but I feel like people would probably get sick of me always talking to everybody about Boston for 30, 40, 50 minutes, whatever the case might be. So, shifting gears a little bit, you started off early. You kind of got into, I don't know, quote unquote, serious running after the breakup and kind of channeling your energy that way. What's the motivation now to keep, maybe not so much to keep running, but to keep pushing the envelope, to keep trying to race hard and get faster? Why are you still grinding at this point?
Yeah, I've come to believe, like I said earlier, this is the only thing that I'm like excellent at, in my opinion, right. Actually. You know, I'm good at work. I was good in school. I get promoted. And I get the normal pay raises. My boss thinks I'm cool, but I'm not like outstanding. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm never outstanding at school. I was never at the top of the list. I was actually pretty darn average, you know, and I'm not very great for an Asian kid. but this is the one and only thing that I am truly and honestly not bad at. It doesn't come naturally for me. You know, nothing does actually, but I work at it and I see results and I'm in control. I went from an 840 to a 330. 2 months ago, I got a 328. So I know that I'm getting better, and I'm not, you know, the finish times have definitely, you know, I went from a 336, 335, 334, 330, 328. So the gap between the finish times are definitely getting smaller, and it's getting harder to get faster. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to quit. I know that I'm getting better. One day I'll peak and I'll never be able to PR again, but that day isn't here yet. And I just want to hustle as if it's never going to come. Mm-hmm.
Have you had a race where things just really didn't go well, where, you know, like you say, you had these, you chipping away a couple minutes here, 5 minutes there, another minute here. Have you had a race where it was just like 15 minutes in the wrong direction or 10 minutes in the wrong direction? I don't want to say yet, 'cause I don't want to jinx you if you haven't, but have you had one of those experiences?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Two races come to mind. After my first BQ in September 2014, I ran the Long Beach Marathon again a month later. Mm-hmm. So literally like 3 or 4 weeks in between each marathon. And, you know, I was on top of the world. I qualified for Boston. I was so happy. I was like, wow, I'm really good. I'm going to try it again. Like that logic makes no sense, but it was there. That was my idea back then. So Long Beach, I kept up with a 3:35 pacer for 14 miles. And I was like, oh shit, I cannot hang on. Mm. So it was so weird thinking back now. I don't know what I was thinking, but instead of slowing down, I just quit. I DNF. Like, nothing hurt, Denny. I wasn't in pain. Like, I mean, of course, it hurt something. My legs hurt a little bit, but it was nothing crazy. It was just the idea of not beating my last time, the 3:30, was enough for me to quit. But that mentality now has definitely changed. Like, my mentality now is just finish what you started, and it doesn't matter if you don't hit your goal. But definitely back then, for some reason, I thought that I could do better than a 3:30 in 3 weeks. So definitely have learned a lot along the way, including don't do back-to-back marathons. Just don't do it. I mean, people out there can do it, you know, they can do really well. And that's great, but it's dangerous. I can get hurt, and it's just not worth it.
How did you come back from that? I mean, was it just a matter of taking some time of not racing right away? I mean, was that as simple as that?
Yeah. It sounds so obvious, right?
Right, right.
but yeah, it was definitely just as simple as that. Just giving your body a break, but more importantly, like mentally giving your mind a break too, because running is physical. That's true. But just as it is physical, it is mental. And like, having a goal and hitting it, you need some time to like relish in the accomplishment afterwards. Don't rush into the next race and don't just like keep going and keep trying to get better. Like, you need to give yourself a break and give yourself some slack, and then come back stronger when you decide to race again.
Have you had opportunities or had times where you've run a race without racing it, for lack of a better way of saying it? So kind of to counterpoint, if you will, or mm-hmm. a little counterexample, a few years ago now, I was, you know, signed up for a marathon here somewhat close by. You know, all the training was going towards it, and then kind of, you know, somewhat last minute had the opportunity to, you know, switch transfer registrations with somebody for a race like 3 weeks before mm-hmm. that race that I've been targeting. So I went into that race beforehand, and it was another full marathon, but I did it strictly with the idea that this is just my last long run.
Yeah.
Instead of doing, you know, 22 miles by myself, I'm gonna run 26 at a race and not have to carry water and not have to worry about all that stuff and yada yada yada. So I ran it real easy. I purposely took, like, you know, walk breaks every mile or something like that to keep myself from running too fast. And I really do think that helped me mentally, like, all right, I just did 26.2, you know, 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Like, now I can go out and try to hammer it for the race. And that really helped me. Have you done anything like that where you've done a race without racing it? Or when you go to a race, you know, kind of like we talked about before with Boston, like, is it just mm-hmm. business and you're out there to test yourself that day and see how it goes?
That's a really good point, Danny. I haven't done that where I haven't done a full marathon where it's strictly just mm-hmm. for training. But now that you mentioned that, that's probably a good idea, because in my head, when I run, it's all business. And then it can be really disappointing when the business didn't do well.
Right.
So, you know, that, and it can be good for, like, mentally too, if I just go out there without a crazy goal. Mm-hmm. And then that actually might, like, bring back, you know, the love, the pure love for running, not for racing, not for time. Not to like qualify for this or that, just for the pure love of the sport. I think that would be a really good idea. But last year I did do a training run in a marathon. So the first 22 miles was my long run. Mm. And then the last 4 miles I quit. So I DNF'd online. That's what it looks like.
But that was the strategy going into it. That was the plan.
Was the strategy. But looking back now, I absolutely should have finished it. Because I, the first 22 miles, I averaged, I think, like, no, the first, I'm sorry, the first 20 miles, I averaged 8:15 for the quote unquote long run. And then the last couple of miles, I really picked it up. I started to hit like 7:30 to 7:40s. I absolutely could have finished that race and BQ'd right then and there. But I didn't. And I don't know why. You know, even though my strategy was to just do 22 miles, you don't always have to stick with your plan if it doesn't seem right. So this my little story there.
Gotcha. Well, if I can chew into that a little bit more, because I do kind of ascribe more to the idea of stick, you know, if you have a plan, like, so I'm going to assume here, and assuming gets me in trouble sometimes, but so the assumption that I'm working under is that, you know, you'd plan this 22 miler, and then there's probably a race coming up a few weeks later that you were targeting. So the coach in me says, if that was the plan, you executed the plan, you did what you should have done. And hopefully then, you know, the results paid off at the race.
Yeah.
If you would have decided to say, hey, you know what, I'm feeling pretty good, let me just go ahead and run these last couple of miles and kind of push that pace. Would, you know, obviously there's no way of knowing, but maybe that could have then affected the race that you were actually training for to begin with. So
you're totally right. Yeah. Totally right. So I just say this now, you know, everything is perfectly clear in retrospect.
Right, of course.
So the race that I was talking about, where I did the 22 miles and then DNF'd, that was the Mountain to Beach Marathon. 2 weeks later was the Utah Valley Marathon, and I did not do well at that one. I got a 3:33, I think, and that wasn't good enough to like actually qualify for Boston, which was what I was working towards at the time. So that's why I say that I could have done better at Mountains to Beach 2 weeks prior. So, I mean, it's all speculation, you know, like who knows what could have happened, but I still wouldn't regret anything. Like these are all really good lessons, and I will probably, hopefully never repeat these stupid mistakes again.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, it's like you also had just said, I mean, the hindsight, the looking back, it's always easy to play the what if game when you know how the future plays out, but
exactly,
you know, you did what you thought was the right thing with your training at the time. And so, you know, you kind of got to, I don't know. I mean, you can spend all day second guessing this, that, or the other, but you did what thought was right. And then now you, like you said, you learned from it. I've said several times in various conversations, both on the podcast and otherwise, that I'm not a big metaphor fan. In school, I remember having fun arguments with teachers. You know, we were both laughing, but we were arguing about metaphor in English class and whatnot. And I say that to say this, that I've come to the point where I feel like running is this like giant metaphor of life for me now. And like all of these lessons that I learned in running, I'm like, oh yeah, this plays out in my personal life, my family life, my business life, like whatever, all the different areas of life now. Yeah. I feel like running is such a great teacher. I mean, you've run a bunch of marathons in done very well and continue to improve and continue to keep going out there and pushing yourself. Here's the wide open and somewhat impossible question. What are some of the lessons that you've learned along the way that, for those of us that are maybe, you know, listening that are new to the sport or haven't maybe seen as much success or improvement as you have or whatever the case may be, what are some things that you've learned that have helped you in running and probably played over into other areas of life as well? So far in your experience in the sport?
Yeah. A lot of lessons. But the number one thing that I still struggle with today, and I have to continually remind myself, is don't compare yourself to others. This is a race against yourself in your last few finish times, you know, even if you're going for a finish time. But if you're not, great. If you are, don't compare your finish time to the girl next to you. A huge problem that I still have is just, you know, I see my friends get into running and they BQ their first time. I've been doing this for 10 years and like a BQ today would still be a huge deal, you know? It seems crazy to me, but you have to just stop and remind yourself that you're in your own lane. You know, as long as I'm maintaining and I'm getting better, even if it's by seconds, be proud and be happy for yourself. Don't like have your happiness overshadowed by someone else's finish time. That doesn't make sense. And then that kind of bleeds into my career as well. I'm in human resources, so I know everybody's salary and I know how old everybody is. And it drives me crazy sometimes when I see these kids coming out of college and they're like doing a lot better than me. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. they're a lot better than me. And it's like, God, like, why not me? Like, what do they have? You know, they went to a great school. I went to an even better school. Like, what the heck? But it doesn't matter. Like, their success cannot be compared to my success or lack thereof. Like, it's like comparing apples to oranges, no matter who it is. So just stay in your own lane, do your own thing. You know, Instagram, great. Facebook, all the social media stuff, like, that plays a huge role in comparing too. So just take everything with a grain of salt. Like, you don't know, someone's finish time might be like sub 3, right? But they probably won't get that sub 3 on the Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. You know, they might get that at one of the Rebel races, but not Boston or not LA. So just saying, you know, not all races are made the same. Not all people are made the same.
Right. And then, you know, we've had this similar line of conversation several times as well, where it's just like, you know, and it doesn't matter almost who you are, unless you're maybe in the top, you know, 0.01% or whatever. But like, your best day is somebody else's not very good day.
Yeah,
your not very
exactly.
good day is somebody else's, oh my God, I couldn't dream of
yeah,
that type
you're
of
right.
day. So, you know,
totally.
It's like you said, it's all relative, and it's all, you know, it's that is one of the downfalls of social media. I love social media as much as the next guy, but like, yeah, it's so easy, even when you know better, to see somebody else's, and you go, God, like, how come they get to be so fast?
Or
like,
yeah,
like, and you don't know what their running career is like, what their all of the genetic stuff, like, you don't know. So you just got to worry about yourself sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
It's tough. Any other big lessons?
Always hill train. That's something that I've learned. Even if you're doing a race that's net downhill, there's probably going to be an uphill in there, and it's probably going to hurt if you don't hill train. Always train on hills. You never know when it'll come in handy.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's some good practical running advice for sure.
Yeah.
You know, put yourself in training. Try to make it a little bit easier for yourself on race day.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, goodness. Well, I feel like we could probably keep going for a while, but I know at some point we're going to have to wrap this up. You got to get on with your life as well. So I appreciate you, you know, getting up early and doing this. And like I said, you know, making this happen after a few times together, trying to make it happen. And we each had to cancel on each other once. So we're even there at least. But, but before we wrap up, Leanne, the way I like to finish is with something I call a philosophical question. And, don't get nervous. Don't stress out. It's a fancy title of saying it's a really simple, you know, kind of like that introductory, what's your favorite distance race question?
Yeah.
It's a real simple question that you can take it any way you want. And I've had folks that have answered it with literally a couple of words. I've had folks that, you know, take a few minutes and give an answer. And some folks that grab it and then run with it. And 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, we finally finish up. And all of those, you know, all of that and anything in between is perfectly acceptable. So, I would just be curious to get your opinion on what running means to you. You know, you started running about 10 years ago, not really knowing what you were doing and kind of got thrown into the fire. Like, hey, by the way, the first time running here, go run a marathon, to where you are now, where you've done Boston 3 years in a row, planning on going back again next year. So, you know, kind of keep that string going which would arguably kind of puts you at a pretty high level of, you know, the quote unquote amateur runners. If you're consistently getting to the Boston level and continue to go even further. So, you know, you've come a long way and not a lot of time in the sport. So what does just being a runner and the sport in general, kind of what does that kind of mean to you? And maybe that's a good place to put a bow on it today.
Yeah. It is a loaded question, Danny, not going to lie, but if I could sum it up, I would say running, it just means to not give up for me. I don't come from a background. I mean, my family, each of us have all run at least one marathon. But I don't come from a family where it's like, it comes natural, where we're like athletically inclined or anything like that. So I would say that my running is kind of a message, to tell other people that it's possible to come from nothing, from like a walking marathon, an 8:40, all the way down to my PR, which is a 3:28. it's possible if you focus and if you try and if you just, you know, hustle when no one's looking at night. After work, nobody wants to go running. Everybody wants to go to the bar. Everybody wants to go drinking. You know, everybody wants to have fun. And you're hitting the gym and you're putting in miles when nobody would do it with you. And that kind of goes into my life outside of running as well. Like if you do the work, whether or not anybody's watching or knowing that you're doing all this stuff, you'll come out on top. And if you just don't give up and keep going, I think great things can really, really happen.
Yes. Yes. I couldn't agree more, and I'm not even going to try to add to it, because I'll just make it muddy. And I usually try to stay out of the way after somebody gives a philosophical answer to a philosophical question. So, beautiful, Leanne, thank you for sharing that. I think it's another great piece of advice, another great lesson that, you've learned. And I think probably more than a few of us have also probably learned those types of lessons as runners as well. So, with that, guys, on Instagram, connect with Leanne there, at smallrunner88_. Again, smallrunner88_, and we'll have that linked up and links up to anything else that we talked about today, disruns.com/456 for the show notes. So, Leanne, thank you. Thanks for taking the time today. Thanks for continuing to reschedule. And we've had those little snafus along the way, but I'm glad we're able to chat. I really appreciate it. And obviously wishing you nothing but the best going forward, continued success, continued, Boston appearances. And one of these days, when my schedule or when my speed and my age group can finally align, hopefully you'll still be there. You know, you'll be at 20 Bostons in a row or whatever by that point. And, we can see each other there, but, thanks for the time today. Nothing but the best, and looking forward to staying in touch in the future.
Thanks, Denny. I'll see you at Boston. I know it. I'll see you there.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. Hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Leanne and myself. And as always, I would be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your big takeaway from our chat today? For me, it was something that Leanne kind of mentioned when we were talking about kind of how her perspective has changed with how she runs and how she races. And now, you know, she mentioned that now her priority is to just finish what you start. So you sign up for a race, you run the race. You know, you do what you got to do to make it happen. And it really just it stood out to me. I think because it's one of those lessons, and it's another one of those lessons. There's many of them that extend far beyond just the running world. You know, there's so many things, and I'm guilty of this, of, you know, projects that are half finished or, you know, things, whether it's work, whether it's stuff around the house, whatever it is, where I've started something and I got distracted, or, you know, for some reason I didn't finish it that day. And then it just gets lost in the shuffle of everything else going on in my life. And it was just a good reminder when Leanne mentioned to finish that, you know, that her goals now are to finish what she starts. And it was just, it was a good reminder to me that's something that I need to focus on as well. That's an area that I can improve. That's something that, I need to improve upon. And again, it covers many areas of my life. I feel like in running, I'm pretty good at that. I mean, if I start a race, I do it. If I start a workout, I typically make it to the finish. But even then there's some times that, you know, I'm supposed to do 12 and I talk myself into only doing 8 or something like that. So there's plenty of areas where I need to follow the advice of finishing what I start. And so that was the thing that stood out to me most from this episode. That was the thing that really, as soon as she said it, I was like, oh yes, that's what I need to do. And then going back through things, you know, it was just another reminder that yes, that is hands down my biggest takeaway from this episode and the biggest thing that I need to continue to work on going forward. And I appreciate the reminder from Leanne. So, as per usual, I'd be curious to know what was it that stood out to you? Let me know. What was your takeaway? Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/456. And leave a comment there. And that way other folks can see what you had to say. And maybe it would trigger something in them as well. And you never know how that plays out. And the conversations that are created because of that can be really interesting. And I always appreciate those comments and the shared takeaways. So thank you guys for leaving those. And if you haven't done one in a while, I would love to hear it. So anyway, let's go ahead and put a bow on this thing for now. Thanks again to Leanne. And once again, thank you to WeGrind for jumping on board as a sponsor, WEGRYND.com. Don't forget to use the code DIZRUN. Save 15% on what I am convinced will, you will have no question in your mind that it's the best, dry fit / tech shirt / whatever you want to call it. Most comfortable, best, all kinds of features, odor absorbing, bacterial resistant, yada, yada, yada. Good stuff, good stuff. Super comfortable. Check them out, wegrind.com. And again, DIZRUNS is the coupon code to save 15%. So with that, let's go ahead and put a bow on this thing for today. Thank you guys for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And I can't say it enough. Thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your attention. Have a great rest of the day. And we'll talk soon. Take care, guys.